chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. By way of reminder, we just a few weeks ago started our series on prayer. What is prayer? The purpose of prayer? And now we are going to be embarking on the Lord's Prayer together, looking at the various petitions together. And this week we're going to be looking at the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 46 in just a moment. But first, let's read from Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we'll start at verse 5. Again, Matthew 6, that's page 964. Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's as far as reading in Matthew chapter 6. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at various aspects of Matthew 6 together. But also let's turn in the back of our songbooks to Lord's Day 46. Lord's Day 46. And Lord's Day 46 is found on page 894. I read the question, let's respond with the answers together, starting with question and answer 120. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer what should be basic to our prayer, a childlike reverence and trust that through Christ God has become our Father, and will much less refuse to give us what we ask in faith than will our parents refuse us the things of this life. And then 121, why the words, who is in heaven? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly way, and to expect from His almighty power everything needed for body and soul. And that's as far as reading in the Catechism. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw a few weeks ago, prayer is a necessary part of the Christian's life. Prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. In the larger context, we saw that obeying the Ten Commandments is how we show God that we are thankful. As Jesus Himself said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." So love moves us in gratitude to obey God, to keep His commandments with hearts of thanksgiving. But in addition to living a certain way, we are called to speak a certain way. Prayer is how we express, how we say that we are thankful. Prayer is a necessary part of the Christian's life. It is an expected part of the Christian life, but it is also a privileged part of the Christian life. But in order for prayer to be a good and acceptable prayer, it must meet specific requirements. A true prayer looks a certain way. It sounds a certain way. A true prayer must be prayed to a specific person. Prayer in a general sense to a nameless entity is not true prayer. It will not be heard and will not be answered. We are called to pray to the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word. So as we embark together through the Lord's Prayer, we start with the introduction to that prayer where we pray to our Father who is in heaven. Now let me ask you, brothers and sisters, have you ever been ignored? Have you ever spoken to someone and they were so distracted that they simply did not hear you or didn't register? Maybe parents, you've seen this with your children. When you are speaking to your children, they don't seem to be listening, but when you're not speaking to them, they seem to hear everything that you say. We have the privilege of knowing as God's people that when we are praying to the one true God, we will never be ignored. It is never that God is so busy or so distracted that our prayers will go unheard or unanswered. It is such a blessing when you speak to someone face to face and you can tell that they are really hearing you. Well, this is the privilege that we have as God's people. When we speak to our God in prayer, he is really listening. Our Father wants us to pray because he delights to hear the prayers of his children. So this morning we consider this theme. Jesus Christ teaches us to pray to our Father who is in heaven. Our text is really the opening of the Lord's Prayer, which is simply this, six words, our Father who is in heaven. In the first point then, we consider that we are praying to a loving Father. Since prayer is speaking to God, with God, who is this God to whom we are praying? We are called, we are instructed by Jesus to pray to our Father. Now, brothers and sisters, don't miss the simplicity and tenderness of this prayer. We are praying to our Father. There is such a close and intimate relationship, a tender relationship between a father and his child. In fact, one of the first words that most children learn to say is Dada. A father who is such closely connected to his child. This illustration is given in Matthew 7, verse 11, comparing and contrasting the relationship between earthly fathers and their children and our heavenly Father and us as his children. If we as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our heavenly Father, how much more will he not give us what we need? Earthly children have every right to expect that their fathers will give them bread and not stones, will give them meat and not deadly snakes. How much more will our heavenly Father? How much more will he not hear and give us what we need? Children expect this. This prayer that we are praying is a prayer of faith. We are calling upon God with that realization that we are children coming to a Father who is good and who hears, who will answer. But not everyone has this right. Not everyone has the right to call upon God as their Father. There are people in this world who do not have God as their Heavenly Father and who have no right to call upon him in prayer because they have no childlike trust in him. No, this is a specific and unique privilege given to God's people. It is a wonderful privilege, brothers and sisters. The fact is we can so easily take this name on our lips and begins our prayers. As children, we were all taught this. We start our prayers by praying our Father. We almost assume or take this right for granted. We can say these words without grasping the gravity of them. We are fallen, finite sinners calling upon the Heavenly Father, taking His name upon our lips. This right, this privilege, was gained at great cost. How can we, as fallen, finite sinners, who are but dust and ash, who live a few short years, calling upon a God who never changes, who is and who was and who is to come, 1,000 years is like a watch of the night. How can we come into His presence with boldness? It is only because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has opened the door for us, has given us that right. He has taught us and He has purchased for us the right to call upon God as our Father. You see, Jesus Christ in His suffering has secured the forgiveness of our sins. And indeed, when Jesus was on the cross, He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken us, forsaken me, so that we would never be forsaken? In fact, Jesus gave up the right to call upon God as His Father in order to secure this right for us, so that God is no longer seen as someone who is distant and far away, but someone who is close and near. Jesus has earned this right for us to become children of God. Whereas Jesus said to His disciples in John 20, He was ascending to His Father and our Father. Jesus has opened the door, has secured this right for us to call upon God as our Father. We are adopted children. As Jesus has the right to call God His Father, this right is now transferred to us by faith. We are made the children of God. But more than that, we not only share the fatherhood of God with Jesus, we share the fatherhood of God with each other. This is why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying not my Father, but our Father. The Lord's Prayer is a communal request. When we are praying, our Father who is in heaven, we are saying, Jesus, thank You for giving us this right to call upon Your Father as my Father. But we are also looking around and saying, this prayer that I am offering is a prayer that I make with God's people. This is the prayer of the church. I am a part of the body. Our Father who is in heaven, the church is united in this prayer. It is the confession of a child, a statement of faith that we make together. So even in praying this, we are forced to say it's not just my needs, it is our shared needs that we are bringing to our Father. We have this intimate connection that is reinforced when we are praying together and praying for each other, which we are reminded to do when we pray, our Father who is in heaven. So this truth that we have the opportunity to pray to God as our Father, secured for us by Jesus Christ, it changes who we are as a person, and it changes even how we pray. Question and answer 120 puts it like this. Why do we need to pray to our Father? And the reason is this. We pray to our Father so that at the very beginning of prayer, this childlike awe and trust would be stirred within us. I trust my loving Abba that He will give me what I need. I respect Him. And I revere His name. Our passage from Matthew chapter 6 warns against the false use or false way to pray. If childlike awe and trust is how we should pray, the attitude of the heart when we do pray, Matthew 6, verse 5 through 8 shows the opposite. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, we are to avoid the hypocrite's prayer, that is verse 5. The hypocrite's prayer is more concerned with the praise of men. The hypocrites pray on the street corners. They pray loudly. They have no fear of God, no respect or awe. But as we saw a few weeks back, in prayer, it is me and my works that take center stage. Instead of humbly coming before God, the hypocrite comes seeking the praise of men, or putting his own works as the basis of their prayer being heard and answered. So the first thing we are to avoid and watch out for in our prayer is the hypocrite's prayer. That is this self-reliant, boastful prayer. The second thing we are warned against in verse 7, that's Matthew 6, verse 7, is the Gentiles' prayer, the empty repetition. The Pharisee lacked reverence and awe, but the Gentile has no trust and lacks faith. In order to gain a hearing with God, the Gentile heaps up empty phrase and words, hoping to gain a hearing with God with their empty ritual. There's no childlike trust. There's no faith that God will hear and answer. So the Gentile's prayer just keeps adding word upon word, thinking that the more words you use, the better chances you have of being heard. As Jesus continues, do not be like them. Do not be like the Pharisees. Do not pray like the Gentiles, because your Father knows what you need, and He will give you what is necessary. So when you come to God in prayer, your prayers and your petitions must come from a heart of trust and reliance, knowing that God will hear, that He will grant what is needed. And He knows what you need. Remember, the God you are calling upon is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. Make sure that our prayers are not just empty repetitions. I think this is a real challenge for many of us who have been taught form prayers. Now, form prayers are good and have a necessary place. But it is so easy to fall into the repetition. Before you have a meal, you have a certain cadence in your prayer that you pray exactly the same thing every time you pray. And even little children, you've been taught maybe a prayer by your parents, which is, it's good. Parents are supposed to teach you how to pray. But it is always a temptation and a danger to fall into the routine and rhythm of uttering empty words without actually thinking, pondering what you are saying. In fact, even the Lord's Prayer can function this way. We can say the words of the Lord's Prayer without actually praying to our Heavenly Father. So here we are being reminded to pray with hearts of faith, meaning the words that we say. So let me be clear. It's not using a form prayer that's necessarily bad. Form prayers are part of our heritage. As Jesus Christ Himself gives us a form. When you pray, pray like this. But don't be like the Gentiles who are simply saying words. Pray to your Heavenly Father as a child, meditating on the fact that He is your Father who loves you, who protects you, and provides for you. So in our first point, we have focused on the loving closeness, this intimate bond between father and child. And our second point, we are going to see that not only is he our father, he is our heavenly father. We pray to our father, but this father is a unique father. He is a father who is in heaven. By confessing that our father is in heaven, we learn two things. Question and answer 121. First, we are to see that God's majesty is so far different beyond what we see in this earth. His majesty means that he deserves our praise. And secondly, we are to learn to see that his power means that we can trust him that he will provide. The fact is, Jesus Christ uses our earthly fathers to compare and contrast how God as our heavenly father is like our earthly fathers and God as our heavenly father is not like our earthly fathers. In the first point, we saw that God as our heavenly father is a loving father like most of us here have had loving fathers. Children, if you ask your fathers for food and drink, if your father is a normal loving father, he will give you what is necessary. He will protect you and provide for you because he loves you. But in our second point, we are going to see that your earthly father is different from your heavenly father. Because our earthly fathers are limited. They are limited in their wisdom. They don't know everything. They are weakened by their sin. They fail. They fall. And they are temporary in their calling. They die. Our fathers cannot, our earthly fathers cannot tell the future. They don't always know what is best, and sometimes they are limited and unable to provide what is necessary. And ultimately, all of our earthly fathers will die. But our heavenly father is not limited in these ways. Our heavenly father's arm is not short. He not only perfectly knows what is needed, he has the power to provide that which is necessary. And he never ceases being our heavenly father. There is never a time when God the Father will not be your God and Father. He knows what is coming. He knows the future. In fact, all things are in his hand. Our heavenly Father will never be surprised by the events of the day. If you are like me, you start the morning reading the newspaper, opening the app, seeing what's going on. And what happened in this past night? While I was in bed, oh, wow, look at this. I didn't expect this to happen. We're surprised every day by the events that are unfolded. But our Heavenly Father is never surprised. He's never caught off guard. He's never set off balance by the things that are happening in this world. There is a great comforting truth in this. Our Heavenly Father knows and is all-powerful. So that we can, as question and answer 121 puts it, learn to expect everything that we need from his hand. He is the fountain and source of every good and perfect gift. And this is explained in our second passage in Matthew 6, verse 25 and following. The payout in knowing that your Father is in heaven, that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. This truth, the payout, means this. This is the rubber on the tires. Since your God is in heaven, he is your loving heavenly Father, do not be anxious about your life. That's Jesus' application of the Lord's Prayer. If Jesus applies the Lord's Prayer to us in this way, using the birds and the flowers of the field to illustrate this point. If you need food, like the sparrows need food. And God provides for the sparrows, and you're worth much more than a sparrow. Won't God provide for your food, giving you your food? And concerning your clothing, if you need clothing like the flowers of the field need to be clothed, and God clothes the grass of the field in an arrangement that is more beautiful than even Solomon in all his glory, won't God provide for you as child? You worth much more than grass? Your heavenly Father knows your needs, and he loves you as his child and has all powerful and is all powerful. Why be anxious? And in fact, being anxious doesn't help at all. You can't add a minute to your life by being anxious. You can't add an inch to your height by being filled with worry and turmoil. Why be anxious about the future? You don't know what the day will bring. Should we be nervous about the unknown when God holds all things in his hand? Children, do you know what it means to be a dependent? When it comes tax time, your parents have to fill out these forms and they mark you as a dependent. A dependent means that you are under the authority, protection, and provision of your parents. Being a dependent means that your mom and dad are taking care of you, that they are responsible for you. While you are a dependent of the Heavenly Father, so don't be anxious. Rather, trust. Anxiety, worry, fear, and fret. These are such a part of our lives. It seems to be that there's always something going on. Something with the future. Something with your savings. Something with your house. Something with your car. Something with your medical thing. Something with your family. Something with your friends. Something with your school. Something with your church. Our hearts are in this constant state of turmoil and strife. But Jesus says it's unnecessary. Do not be anxious about anything. But with your prayers and your petitions, offer them to God with thanksgiving. Will not your heavenly Father provide for your needs? So our Lord's Prayer starts with a confession of faith. Our Father who is in heaven. We can draw near to the holiest place, into the inner sanctuary, coming before the throne of grace, knowing that he who sits on that throne is your loving Father. To conclude, we have seen that prayer is a wonderful privilege. We are given the opportunity, the blessing, to call upon God as our Father. God honors us when he gives us the opportunity to call upon him. It's true, prayer changes us. Prayer changes us because it forces us to acknowledge we are the dependent here. We are the needy ones. He is the one who provides. So we join our voices with the Son and with the church, calling upon God as our Father who is in heaven. So as we've seen this morning, Jesus Christ teaches us at the beginning of prayer to call upon God as our Father, to kindle a childlike awe and trust within. Our Father is in heaven. So may we pray to him alone. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these words, that we can call upon you as our Father, knowing that our prayers are heard and answered, that you know our needs and you are able to provide. May our prayers come from hearts of faith. Forgive us for needless worry and anxiety. May we find the comfort of a child on the lap of a loving father, embraced in strong and mighty arms. We thank you for the gift of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.